From KXCI in Tucson, you are listening to the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A. Our mission is to connect with our community during this time of social distancing. This year, on the Captain's Log, you'll hear voices from our community near and far about how they're doing, music that resonates, tributes to those living and gone, and more, all with our standard spacey music, Star Trekery, and a dose of hope. We want to hear your voice and your perspective on life during COVID-19. Now it's easier than ever to submit your Captain's Log for our show. You can simply call 520-222-8652 and leave your captain's log as a voicemail for us. That's 520-222-8652. Before you do, please visit kxci.org/programs and click on the Captain's Log Project for further instructions, or email me at amya@kxci.org. Captain's Log, March 14th, 2021. First Officer Amy A. This is the very week last year that my family, like many in Tucson and across the country, were grappling with the fact that we would have to quarantine, social distance, and wear masks for the foreseeable future. Did we think it would be a year? Nope. I was overwhelmed with the idea of even a few months at the time. And here we are, a year later, looking at another spring and summer of social distance. And this is the new normal for my small pod of humans, floating through the world, school, work, life. I will continue my endeavor of connecting with other humans through radio and remote interviews. Today, art therapist Becky Wilkinson joins us on the Captain's Log and shares about her COVID life, work, and music that got her through 2020. Welcome, Becky, to the Captain's Log Project. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
My name's Becky, and I am a Tucson transplant many times over. So I'm originally from DC, but I was compelled to keep coming back here after I went to art school at the U of A. I just love Tucson, and I also love KXCI, by the way. I remember listening to it right off the bat when I got to Tucson. This was back in 86 or something like that. And then I actually DJed briefly in, I think it was early 90s. And then I DJed again. Well, I was there on 9/11. I remember that. I even have a t-shirt that doesn't fit anymore, by the way, but it did say, you know, one of the music mix DJs. So I loved it. I loved it. So anyway, I have a very soft spot for KXCI. So I'm thrilled to be on here with you, Amy. And I also love Star Trek, by the way. I'm an artist. I'm an art therapist. That's really what I do. You know, I have a coloring book. I mean, it's all about art and either doing it myself or helping people to be more creative who want to be. So that's me.
I'm curious if you could briefly explain what art therapy is.
I would say essentially it is just using art to help people feel better. And so it's different things for different people. Generally, people associate it with children. So children don't always verbalize as well through words. And so it gives them a way to kind of play out or, depict or express their experience. But for me, I've worked predominantly with adults. Like, I've worked with adults with severe mental illness or really, really high functioning adults. And part of it is two things. One, it makes people feel better. So I have a coloring book. Coloring makes people feel relaxed. I know that a lot of people think it's sort of silly, but it became a craze because people need to relax and it works. And then artwork tells a story. And so with some people, they want to learn what story their mind is telling them. So there's a way that it kind of taps into that part of ourselves that we don't consciously access. And so you can kind of let your artwork speak to you and let it tell a story, and then it can teach you about yourself. And so that's the part that I find most intriguing. I love the healing part, but the learning about yourself part is the part that's really juicy for me. So it's all of these things, and I do all of them, but that's the part that energizes me the most. I have an identical twin sister and I don't have kids and she has kids. So for my husband and I kind of moved back here about 4 or 5 years ago, but I wanted to be part of my nephew's lives as they were growing up. And so I used to travel back there for 2 weeks out of the month. I had a very tolerant husband. And so I would, or you could say that my family was tolerant too, because somebody was putting up with me or missing me. But anyway, I would go back for 2 weeks out of the month and stay there with my sister and my mother so I could be basically a piece of furniture with my nephews, you know, that they would be so used to having Aunt Becky around that they would ignore me. And then when the pandemic hit, that, you know, wasn't possible. So it's been really strange. I went back once. Our politics are such that we believe in the virus and we believe that wearing masks makes a difference. I have since been vaccinated. I've received both of my vaccines because I'm a healthcare worker. My husband is not, and so I feel almost more concerned now because, there are strains out there that are more contagious, and so the chances that I might infect him now seem, that's much more in my consciousness now. I'm not worried about myself, but now I'm even more worried about him. So until, and he's not eligible for any of these newer groups. So until he is, so that, you know, that's kind of a long answer to lockdown and probably on lockdown for quite a while longer. Even though initially I was thinking when I would be vaccinated that I would be going out more and maybe meeting with clients and doing volunteer work. I'm really conflicted about it, but I sort of feel like I can't endanger him. I'm a real extrovert and my husband is an introvert. And so this is sort of par for the course. He works remotely. He's been doing that for years. But I'm surprised that I have become more insular. And so it's really hard not to just feel like we could kind of cut the ties to the planet and just sort of drift off in our own little world. And it's tempting in some ways, you know, and thankfully we enjoy each other's company, you know, so we do have this little world, but it's really like it just sort of feels like we, you know, and that was not my life before this. My life was traveling all the time, being in all different worlds all of the time. And now, you know, I'm it's going to be hard to go back to engaging. I think there are pockets of the country and pockets that have to do with your politics again, which is very, you know, we even like kind of walk on eggshells around speaking about that. But it is really bizarre and unusual that there are people just operating in the country on completely differently based on your belief system. But the reality is that until people are successfully, you know, whatever that level is of that the vaccine has hit enough people, it's not going to be safe for a significant portion of others. So we have to stay out of the fray. So, or I think I need to stay out of the fray.
What songs got you through 2020?
Music is a big deal to me, hence KXCI. And, you know, there's a song that I discovered at KXCI, and I believe I played it when 9/11 hit. A song by Midyur, who is of Ultravox, and he collaborated with Bob Geldof to do that, Do They Know It's Christmas After All, like, probably one of the world's kitschiest songs and so culturally not hip, but so cute, you know. So, but he had just come out with an album, must have been in the 90s, but it was, it's called I See Hope in the Morning Light. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful song. And I used to play it on psychiatric units because I worked for many years with people that, you know, were post-suicide attempt or you know, we're losing their minds. And so it was just a beautiful song of hope.
Love the power, you came right through me and turned
From KXCI in Tucson, you're listening to the Captain's Log Project, and I'm your host, Amy A. You just heard Midyear's song, I See Hope in the Morning Light, which is a song that helped our guest, Becky Wilkinson, get through 2020. Next, Becky talks about the disproportionate impacts of COVID-19.
I have friends who have lost family members. I just spoke with an old friend. He'd lost his father just in December. And so that creates a sort of bizarre, surreal quality. Like my husband, his entire, his mother and all of her sisters and brother all got sick, but nobody was very ill, and certainly no one died. Many of my clients have gotten sick, but at this point, so that's very strange because, you know, there are plenty of people that I know of who have lost significant numbers of people, but they're sort of secondary stories, and so that's very difficult to reconcile. It doesn't feel right, and my politics get involved in this, and I think of, you know, the disparity in the way that this is affecting people. It literally makes me sick to my stomach, and so just constantly plagues me. And yet, what can you do? You know, it is, I mean, I can feel thankful that I'm not ill and nobody in my immediate circle is, but that's not the case with other people. So it's always a double-edged sword. And I mean, it, you know, keeps me up at night. It's just not, well, I don't know. You can't say it's not right or wrong because that goes into your belief system. About what is right and wrong and what is, yeah. It doesn't feel right to me. I'm not the person who judges what is right and wrong in the world. I certainly have my own internal compass, but something's wrong with this picture, you know, is what I would say. There's something very wrong with this picture, so. Yeah, I just double mask and I leave it on at all times. And early on, I just decided, like, I go for a walk twice a week with my cousin, and she's been vaccinated, I've been vaccinated, and I wear my double mask. I don't quite get masks, and I don't quite get who's safe and who's not. Same thing with the vaccines. And I will say just a really quick story that I went back east one time for Labor Day. There was a big march that Reverend Al Sharpton was throwing, and I took my niece there. And I was like, you know, this would be a good occasion. I had something that I needed to take care of back there. And I thought this is going to be the last opportunity to do it before the Christmas, you know, because they had predicted there would be these spikes. So I said, Labor Day, we're going to go now. And I got there, and within 2 hours, I was in my mother's house eating food at her dinner table without a mask. And by the end of the weekend, I had touched everybody, you know, and I was like, that's it. I don't know how to keep social distance in these situations. I'm not going back east until everybody's safe, and I'm not socializing anymore because I clearly do not know how to keep these boundaries. So I just decided to stop. You know, I was like, I'm not, you know, my mother was over my shoulder looking at my computer, and, you know, and then she was so upset when she tried to hug me when I was leaving. And I was like, we can't do this. And, you know, she was so upset. And I was like, okay, that's it. Done. Not, this is not happening again. And so that was the only time. And so now I don't, you know, people ask me for dinner. Nope. You know, I will go for a walk with you, and that's it. And it feels very rigid. It's not who I am, but it just feels easier that way. I feel hopeful, and I'm not a naturally hopeful person. I don't feel hopeful. As a respective human being here, especially a wonderful one who I appreciate and a KXCI DJ that I appreciate too. But I don't have a lot of faith in humanity. I mean, we got ourselves here. It doesn't matter who brought this virus. We've known it, something like this could come. And all of the ways that it has been handled and the politics around it have revealed, you know, these vulnerabilities that humans have around reality, if there is such a thing, and how to be good to each other and how to protect ourselves, either in the future or in the past. But about this year, I feel good. I have thought since I got vaccinated, like, drop the mic, I'm heading out, you know? And then I realized, oh no, when I come back, I wouldn't be safe to my husband, you know? So, okay, that's out of the question. My first inclination was travel to see my family. And then the second one would be to go to Value Village and spend 4 hours shopping and looking through, you know, stuff I don't need, because I love to thrift shop, you know, starting out on Fourth Avenue with, you know, what used to be one of the best ones. I think it's now way overpriced, but, you know, Savers or whatever. I just love thrift shopping. And so that would probably be my second thing, would be retail therapy, but it wouldn't be new retail therapy. It would be used retail therapy.
Hey, it's Amy A. We're reaching the end of this interview with Becky, and as I'm producing it, I just have to add this one little tidbit that she shared with me.
The artist to me, like, he's definitely my, if I was on an island and had only one choice, it's David Bowie. Don't ask me why. David Bowie.
From KXCI in Tucson, you've been listening to the Captain's Log Project. Thanks to Becky Wilkinson for joining me on the Captain's Log today. If you want to find out more about Becky, listen to past programs, or get information on how you can be on the show, please visit our webpage at kxci.org/programs and click on the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A., signing off. Wondering what artist's music you would like to hear if you were stuck on a desert island? Let me know by leaving a message at our Captain's Log voicemail, 520-222-8652.